Chapter 12 Unexpected. Veronica jerked awake to the sound of continuous banging on the front door of her apartment. Sweat dripped from her forehead, and her eyes adjusted to the sun's rays illuminating her living room. The pounding continued, and she lifted herself from the couch with a sharp pain scurrying down her back.
Veronica, are you there?
A familiar voice uttered from the other side of the door. She hurried over to the door, wiping the sleep from her eyes. She flattened her disheveled hair and unlatched the lock on the door. Sean stormed in carrying two briefcases.
Sean? She closed the door behind him. He set the two briefcases on the floor in a loud thud. Oh my God! Surprised to see him, she wrapped her arms around his waist, hugging him tightly. Why didn't you call? I did. He gently kissed the top of her head. How long were you out there? Veronica felt the dryness in her mouth as she spoke. She buried her face into his chest. Just a couple of minutes. His medium-sized frame towered over her. Veronica noticed his dark slacks and his short-sleeved shirt and his brown hair with blonde highlights. His appearance was different from the last time she saw him. He looked more mature. When did you arrive in Minneapolis?
About an hour ago, he answered.
I know, I know. You told me to not come, but you didn't answer my phone call. I thought something was wrong. I went to Dark Sepulchre.
He stared at her for a brief moment before replying, I didn't think you were going to go.
What do you mean you didn't think I was going to go? You knew I was going to go back.
He pulled back from their friendly embrace. Never mind, Veronica. I'm just glad that you're okay.
I'm fine. Are you okay? I mean, you're the one who flew all the way from San Diego because I didn't answer your call.
Obviously, I didn't come just because of that.
Her eyes zoomed at the tattoo on Sean's left forearm.
When did you get that?
He looked at it and smiled. The tattoo, as detailed as it looked, didn't fit his personality. The last thing she thought he would do in his lifetime would be to get a tattoo of a cherub striking down a demon of Satan with a gleaming yellow electric bolt from the heavens.
A couple of weeks ago?
Sean! Veronica playfully slapped him on his shoulder. I thought you were afraid of needles.
Who told you that?
You did, silly.
Doesn't matter, though. She hugged him again.
Oh my God, I'm so happy you're here. She released him.
Wait, how were you able to leave San Diego this easily? Did the Brotherhood let you go?
Never said it was easy. He looked away for a moment.
I'll tell you later. So what have you found out so far?
She sighed in exhaustion.
Where do I start?
How about Dark Sepulchre?
I spoke with Lambert.
Lambert? The owner of Dark Sepulchre? His mouth jumbled with excitement.
Yeah, and oh my God, Sean, there was a lot. There's more going on in the city than I realized.
Her eyes drifted down to a suitcase.
What's in there?
He grabbed one of his suitcases. He popped the two notches and opened the lid.
I found some more paperwork in the library. I hope it helps.
He pulled out a stack of papers.
I wanted to show you this before you decided to go back. He placed the papers on the table and leaned back on the couch, placing his hands over his forehead.
Why didn't you just fax them?
Veronica flipped through them.
I didn't have a safe landline.
The papers were heavily marked, and most of the information was lined out. They were directly from the Brotherhood's classified files.
The first stack of stapled papers had the name Lambert written on the top in cursive handwriting. His date of birth, sire date, and the name of his sire was missing. The paperwork stated he was a Celt, born in Gaul, abandoned as an infant and raised as a mercenary for hire, a headhunter. The second stack had the name Alexis typed in the upper right-hand corner. Her real name was Alexandria, and her date of birth was listed as 1757 on a plantation just outside of New York City, called York Plantation. Her sired was listed as Lambert and the date, August 6, 1777, at the Battle of Oriskany. Veronica found the information regarding Remy to be more interesting. The paper listed his date of birth as 1830 in Paris, France. It also listed the date he was sired, 1848, and his maker's name, Julian of Endor. The information on the second page listed his human parents as Charles and Louise Durand and his younger sister, Marie Durand, all deceased during the 1848 revolution.
He's about 150 years old. She knew the expression that specified the amount of years a demon lived after they were embraced. Young was never older than 300 years. Both Alexis and Lambert's paperwork was incomplete, which didn't surprise her. The Brotherhood mainly focused on demon. "You got them," she hugged Sean. "Sorry it took a while. I tried to steal everything that I could." "What about the Brotherhood?" "I know the risk. I don't want what happened to Rick to happen to you." "Well, I'm glad you're here." She placed her hand on his shoulder and kissed him on his cheek. She skimmed through the remaining paperwork that wasn't stapled. The jumbled phrases and words didn't stick out to her. A few times she saw Lambert's name, but it was followed by more blacked out lines, blotching out details. "They're hiding something," Veronica sighed. "This was worse than declassified U.S. documents." "Yeah, I hear ya. But it was all I could get as such a short notice." "So, what did you find out at Dark Sepulchre?" "I understand that you came because you're worried, but you didn't have to come, Sean." "Veronica." He stopped her. "I don't care about what the Brotherhood might do to me." He smiled briefly. "Besides, I was getting pretty annoyed with that place anyway. Too much bullshit and the pay isn't all that great."
"You just now realize that?" she joked.
"No, I just haven't been as vocal as you have about it."
"True.
Plus, they're revamping the whole organization. They're cleaning house, and I mean cleaning house."
"Do you think they're expanding?"
"I don't know. Whatever it is, they're keeping it under wraps."
"Well, it would make sense."
From an early age, Veronica knew how guarded and sneaky the Brotherhood could be. If they're expanding, they're being really secretive about it. I mean, what other cities could they expand to? There's a chapter in every major city in America.
Almost.
I would assume Denver, maybe Seattle. There's a huge population increase in those cities, he answered. And don't forget other countries. I can see them in South Korea by the end of the year.
South Korea?
Yeah, I wouldn't put anything past the Brotherhood. Sean sifted through his suitcase again. He pulled out a piece of paper and handed it to her. "I found some more information about another demon, Anastasia." He pointed to it. "Does the name sound familiar to you?"
"No."
"Apparently, she's an older Ramanga who lives in Minneapolis," he replied. "She seems pretty dangerous." Veronica flipped through the paperwork. She caught the name of Anastasia's sire, Lucia, and her eyes lit up. "Is this a mistake?"
"I don't know. Why you ask?"
"Lucia sounds so close to Lucius. But Lucius isn't a Ramanga, right?" Sean grabbed the paperwork from her and his eyes narrowed in on the information.
"I honestly don't know," he read from the paperwork.
"Date of birth, 1565. Sire date, 1592. Temperament, unapproachable. Avoid at all costs. Human father killed by Lucia. Human mother killed by Anastasia." His eyes met Veronica's.
"Wow, she killed her own mother?"
"She sounds like every other demon." Veronica grabbed the paperwork from him and she placed it on the coffee table. "Well, the good news is that I may have found out the demon who could be responsible for my mother's disappearance."
"Who?"
"Kai." He was sired by Lucius. Lambert told me that the Brotherhood was helping him get rid of Lucius.
And you believed that?
Veronica shrugged. It's a start.
Well, we have a lot of ground to cover then.
We?
Yeah, you and...
Sean trailed off.
You and I.
He quickly corrected.
I have someone from the inside helping me.
Someone from the Brotherhood?
Don't worry, he smiled. I'm not the only person in the organization that wants to see you succeed.
Sean, are you sure?
Yep. Positive.
Veronica discontinued her question. She trusted Sean's judgment.
Why wouldn't she?
I need to know everything there is to know about Kai. You think your contact can get that?
Yeah, unless there isn't anything to be found. He handed her a sheet of paper covered in writing.
Another one?
She glanced at the document. The top half was unreadable, and she couldn't decipher exactly what the information contained.
Here's some more info on that Remy demon guy.
She thought back to the minion Remy had killed at Dark Sepulchre the night before.
Is he dangerous? Is he tied into my mother's disappearance?
Who knows? But this is the interesting part, Sean replied. According to this, he pointed to another piece of paper, again inundated with black marks. He lives at a sanctuary outside of Minneapolis.
Blind Bluff Manor?
Yeah. How'd you know?
He told me about it.
Veronica's mind rushed back to the previous night.
Whoa, what did he tell you?
He didn't say he lived there. He mentioned some guy by the name of Nathan Tiernan who lives there.
Nathan Tiernan?
Sean's eyes bulged, but he continued.
Are you sure he said that name?
Yeah.
She watched him slowly slide off the couch. Do you know who he is?
He leaned back in his seat.
I remember my parents talking about the Tiernan family separating from the Brotherhood. I thought it was a myth or something they used to persuade me from even thinking about leaving.
The Tiernan family abandoned their oath around the time of your mother's disappearance. They were like the ex-researchers you had to hate. Vamp lovers, demon lovers.
Remy did say Nathan owned the sanctuary, Veronica replied.
That's really odd.
Yeah, it makes no sense whatsoever, Sean commented. A human owning a sanctuary and living with demon?
Maybe he's not human. Maybe this Nathan Tiernan person was sired by a demon?
She watched his eyes twitch and fill with concern.
No, from what I remember, he's still alive and he's human. Sean twiddled his fingers, instilled in deep thought.
We have to assume. Besides, we don't know if this person is related to the Tiernan family.
Veronica, he was a researcher who worked with your mother and under your father, who was the region leader. That was at the time your mother disappeared, he replied. When the Minnesota chapter disbanded, he resigned from the Brotherhood. The Tiernan family has been in the Brotherhood for centuries. This split was unheard of. The Tiernans, Deerhorns, Austins, Alvaros, Luziers, Pabbles, they're all like the Kennedys of the Brotherhood.
So you're saying that maybe Nathan Tiernan knows something about my mother?
She tried to calm his nerves.
I don't think it's a good idea to try to seek him out.
Why not? He might know something. Her mind ran with the different reasons to go to Blind Bluff Manor. Yes, there was a slight possibility that he was no longer human. However, the possibility of Nathan Tiernan knowing specific details about her mother and her mother's assignment when she disappeared was too great to pass up.
We just can't jump into this without knowing, Sean continued. Give me time to dig up some information on him.
He searched the pockets of his pants for his phone.
Remy told me that Nathan could help me.
And you trust him? A demon?
Of course not.
So we shouldn't overreact until we know for sure. We can assume that he's not human, but we have to assume that he still knows something. Veronica pushed the issue further. Maybe Remy was right.
Weary, Sean shook his head.
Look, I know the risk. I have to take. I have to, she quickly replied. I know that I might have to do things that might put me in danger, but I'm prepared for that.
Sean's eyes sparkled and enhanced his excitement.
Are you sure?
She nodded.
Veronica, I really don't know if you should go in without further evidence.
What more evidence do I need? I'm doing this even if you like it or not.
She crossed her arms.
What's gotten into you? You're starting to sound like my father.
I'm not like your father. You know that.
Fine. So, any more information?
He sighed and succumbed to her deviant stance.
Lambert. He's a very influential vampire in Minneapolis, and when I say influential, I mean influential. From what I found when I read through researcher documents, he's been living in Minneapolis for a while. I'm sure he isn't content with what's happening in the city.
He didn't seem happy about Kai either when I spoke to him.
Why?
Kai's the head demon in the city now, according to Lambert.
Veronica scoffed that Sean didn't know anything about Kai. It didn't make any sense.
She shrugged at his ignorance and continued with their conversation.
Lambert was hostile toward me. He told me that I couldn't go back to Dark Sepulchre.
He didn't like you, huh?
No, Veronica sniggered. I didn't know what to think of it.
So you're still bent on going to Blind Bluff Manor?
Do you have the address?
Sean looked at her.
Of course you do, she answered her own question. Looking defeated, Sean pulled out another piece of paper from his briefcase, handing it to her.
The address is listed here. I still don't think it's a good idea for you to go there.
I'm not enthusiastic about the idea either, but this could be something.
It's a sanctuary.
Remy won't be the only demon we'll run into if we go there.
We? She questioned Sean. You're coming with me?
Oh, don't play with me. He waved her off.
The location doesn't seem far. Veronica pointed to the written address on the paper, circled with red ink.
How about tonight?
Demon roam at night, Sean answered. How about in the morning?
Morning it is.
She shifted through the papers in his suitcase.
How was the sanctuary hunting, by the way?
She slapped Sean's thigh. There was a lot of information she was willing to share, but not before she had her first cup of coffee for the day.
Do you want some coffee?
She stood up and walked into the kitchen.
Yeah, sure.
He crunched his lips and his eyes began to wander. Noticing his nervousness, Veronica asked him,
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. He straightened his posture.
So, how about that coffee?
They spoke until early evening. Deciding to stay in, Veronica served grilled cheese sandwiches for lunch, and they sipped red wine throughout the afternoon. She revealed everything, the sensual appetite drink, her conversation with Lambert, and the lackey Remy killed. Sean showed interest by writing down the information on a notepad. His lack of knowledge about Kay became Veronica's utmost concern. How could he not know about a demon whose influence in Minneapolis seemed more dangerous than the Brotherhood? She continued with Lucius's disappearance and the uncanny timing. Occurring around the time when the Minnesota chapter left the city, she believed that both events tied in together. Lambert knew more than what he revealed to her at the club, and she wanted to go back.
It's 6:45. She glanced out her window. Time flew by so quickly. The sun was deep in the horizon, and the first stars began to twinkle in the sky. Sean sat across from her and looked at the clock on the wall.
I have some extra sheets and a pillow in the closet, she pointed to her bedroom. You can crash here if you don't mind sleeping on the couch.
Cool. I bought a one-way ticket. He stretched. I might be here for a while.
Veronica sprung to her feet.
You're not going back?
Don't know, he said. If I do, I wouldn't be welcomed with open arms. Sean, don't do this because of me. I have my phone, I have my laptop. All I need is a wireless connection. I'm good. His response didn't calm her rattled nerves. They heard a door slam and deep, slow footsteps approaching the front door. There was a quick knock, and Sean looked at her. Are you expecting company? She approached the door and looked through the peephole. It's Murphy.
Who's Murphy?
My next door neighbor. Sean leaned forward. Is that a smile on your face? Huh? You're smiling. She chuckled under her breath. People do that, Sean.
Yeah, when they're interested.
She rolled her eyes and opened the door slightly. She moved to block Sean's view of the open door. Hey, Murphy. Murphy smiled at her and didn't notice her unusual movement.
Hey.
He wore a casual long-sleeved shirt with slacks. His brown hair was slicked back, and a mild odor of cologne entered her nostrils.
Are you ready to go?
He examined her.
Go where?
The comedy club. A sense of concern overcame his face. I invited you last night, remember?
Oh, she slapped herself on her forehead. I forgot.
Sean approached them and placed his hand on her shoulder, grabbing her attention. Murphy looked over her shoulder.
I didn't know you had company.
Hey, Sean opened the door further. I don't think we've been introduced. He held out his hand. I'm Sean.
Murphy.
They shook hands.
Wow. Sean pointed to Murphy's left wrist. That's nice ink.
Veronica hadn't noticed Murphy's tattoo before. It was a circle tattoo in the image of a yin-yang symbol with a darkened right section and a maroon-colored left section. A coiled snake wrapped around an indecipherable symbol completed the middle area.
Thanks. Murphy rubbed his tattoo.
What is it?
Just an ancient symbol I found in a world history book. I don't remember what it means.
It's nice work. Murphy's eyes moved from Sean and to Veronica. Sorry if I interrupted you guys.
No, I just can't believe I forgot about the comedy club. She nudged Sean in the stomach.
Oh, Murphy nodded and lowered his voice to a whisper.
Are you a researcher too?
Sean shifted to Veronica.
You told him?
She smiled.
I had to.
Those demon things attacked us, Murphy said.
Veronica whispered to Sean, who looked away in disbelief.
Don't brood. I hate it when you brood.
I can't believe you brought him into this.
Sean didn't look at her.
I was going to tell you. It's just that he was with me when it all happened.
It was just her and me. Murphy raised his hands in defense. I swear. Sean walked back to the couch. Veronica looked back at Murphy and shrugged. This wasn't the way she wanted to reveal it to Sean. Not at all.
I'm so sorry, Murphy. He came into town today unexpected and...
It's okay. He smiled. You're busy, I understand.
Are you sure?
Yeah, it's fine, really. It'll give me more time to look up the rest of those demon names.
Demon names? Sean questioned.
Maybe we can do something another time, Veronica suggested. Sean crossed his arms and slumped over, shaking his head in disappointment.
Yeah, another time.
Sure. Veronica looked back at Sean. She had to end Murphy's visit.
I have to go.
Have a good night, he waved. And it was nice meeting you, Sean.
Same, Sean slowly replied back.
Veronica closed the door.
You shouldn't have told him, Sean blurted.
What was there to say? She approached.
Oh, never mind the evil twin with the sharp teeth, Murphy. It's just a trick with the shadows, Murphy.
She sat next to him.
Sean, he saw it. And even if I lied to him, he would have figured it out anyway.
I thought it was best to warn him.
By telling him about researchers?
What's the matter? She couldn't understand why he was upset.
If it's because I didn't tell you earlier, then I'm sorry.
It's not that. You haven't known him for long.
Remember, you can't trust anyone here, including him. His words were a ghastly reminder of himself. So far, you're the only one acting different around here.
What's that supposed to mean?
Exactly what I said, she exhaled.
What's wrong with you, Sean?
Nothing. I just don't like him.
You don't even know him.
And it's in his best interest that I don't.
Fine, Veronica reluctantly agreed. Maybe I shouldn't have involved him, but it's too late now.
He stood up from the couch. Then maybe we should get to know him. He scurried over to the front door and unlocked it.
Let's go.
Go where?
Out.
Out?
Yeah, why not?
He opened the door.
We deserve some time to relax.
You deserve some time to relax.
Veronica hastily agreed,
not because she thought he was right, but because she needed the extra break.